reading from the Acts of the Apostles. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country, down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They answered him, "We have never heard that there is a Holy Spirit." He said, "How were you baptized?" They replied, "With the baptism of John." Paul then said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Although there were about 12 men, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. Verbum Domini. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. God arises, his enemies are scattered, and those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so are they driven, as wax melts before the fire. But the just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord. The Father of orphans and the Defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything, and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived, when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world."
Verbum Domini.
Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? St. Paul addresses this question to some of the disciples that he found in Ephesus. And it turned out that they had not received the sacrament of baptism, nor had they even heard of the Holy Spirit. So only parts of the gospel had been communicated to them, not the fullness. And when they found out about the fullness of baptism, the sacrament, the gift, the free gift of God, they wholeheartedly desired that. So they had been baptized with the baptism of John. And what did that consist of? So the baptism of John was a preparation for the coming of the Lord, and it consisted of one expressing their contrition, their repentance, right? They knew that they were sinners, they needed God's mercy, and this was an expression of that, being baptized by John. And John's baptism, again, was a prefigurement of the sacrament that Christ would institute. We recall that when many were going to John the Baptist, he distinguished his baptism from that of the Lord, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So again, in our reading today, when they realize this, they eagerly desire the sacrament of baptism, right? And they are baptized with the sacrament. They receive the forgiveness of their sins. They are cleansed from original sin and any actual sin they had committed and were made children of God and members of his church. And then St. Luke writes that after they had been baptized, St. Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them. So they received the sacrament of confirmation, which they were strengthened in the grace of baptism in their soul. They were also given the Holy Spirit with an abundance of his gifts and an increase of the spiritual life. They needed that strength. They needed that grace. And in the gospel today, Christ tells the apostles, "The hour is coming and has already arrived when each of you will be scattered and you will leave me alone. But then he says, 'I have told you this so that you might have peace in me.'" He knew that they were weak, and he knows that we are weak. We know that we are weak. We need his grace. And yet he still calls us to follow him in our weakness. St. Therese would say, "I am weakness itself." And yet she wasn't crushed by the thought of her weakness. She didn't despair. Her weakness allowed her to rely and trust more in the Lord than in herself. She kept striving to follow the Lord as he led. The Lord also encourages us today by saying, "In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." He has overcome the world. We have not only our own pride, our self-love, and other weaknesses to address each day in our daily lives, but we also have trouble coming from the world, including persecution for being faithful to Christ. And yet he reassures us, "Take courage, I have conquered the world." So keeping this in mind will help us to stay humble, right? We need him. As St. Paul would write in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." So although that we are very weak, we carry the life of Christ within us through grace, and that is a great treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that is a very good thing. It's for the benefit of our souls that we're weak, right? Because we are, the temptation is to always trust in ourselves. We're called to trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. Again, the Lord says, "The hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered, and I have told you this so that you might have peace in me." So we thank God today for the abundance of his patience toward us, and that when we fail due to our lack of humility, or lack of love and not cooperating with his grace, that we can receive his mercy by humbly repenting and turning back to him with a firm resolve to amend our lives with his help and with the regular use of confession. Today is also the optional memorial of Saints Marcellinus and Peter. And they were two Roman martyrs of the early 4th century. Under the Roman Emperor Diocletian, Christians were persecuted through imprisonment and torture. And Peter, who had been an exorcist, was thrown into prison for his faith. And tradition holds that while he was in prison, he delivered the daughter of the prison keeper from demonic influence through his prayers. And through this experience, the whole family of the prison keeper was converted to the faith. And it was Peter's friend, Marcellinus, who was not imprisoned at that time. He's the one who baptized the family and received them into the church. And as it certainly can be imagined, news of this got around pretty quickly. And then both Marcellinus and Peter were brought before a judge. As we know with the example of many saints, they refused to deny their faith in Christ, and they were condemned to death. And it was secretly ordered, however, that they were to be led to a place that was unknown, out in the woods somewhere. Because the Romans did not want the faithful to come and to venerate their place of martyrdom and burial, to have it become some sort of shrine. So they were secretly ordered to clear their own way out in the woods. And so they cleared the thorns, the brambles, and everything, and even dug their own graves before they were beheaded. But the locations of their graves remained unknown after their martyrdom, until it was miraculously revealed to a devout woman named Lucilla, and then their bodies were recovered and brought to the Roman catacombs. And it was Pope Damasus who was elected to the See of Peter later on in the 4th century, that he had said that when he himself was a boy, that he was told about the martyrdom of these two great saints from the executioner himself, who converted after he had killed these two great martyrs. We hear that many times throughout the history of the church, that those themselves who killed the martyrs were converted by the grace that God had offered, especially through the witness of seeing men, women, and children joyfully lay down their lives for Christ. And we see the great respect that the early church had for these two saints and that their names are included in the Roman canon of the Mass. It's also the Emperor Constantine, he would build a basilica over the tombs, the catacombs, where these two great saints are laid, and that he himself had his mother, St. Helena, buried and interred in this basilica. So we ask St. Marcellinus and St. Peter to pray for us today, that we may remain constant in the faith as they did, with our trust in Christ, who told us to take courage, for he has conquered the world.